afternoon, everybody. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby from San Antonio. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. I hope you're doing all right today, Saturday, the 23rd of August. It's pretty hot here in San Antonio. Right now, the sun is going down. I feel it on my right shoulder. Otherwise, it's a beautiful day. I would say in the mid-90s. And I am back from Japan. I spent the last 2 weeks, I missed the last two Saturdays, being over in Japan. And I was talking with Doug a few moments ago about how it was. It's a different culture there. Completely different. And they drive on the left side of the road. So we were thinking of moving there. We went back and forth a couple of times. My stepdaughter, Kathy, has lived there 25 years with her grandson, with her son, Jacob, our grandson. And she is an English as a second language teacher. And she loves it there. And she wants us to move. But after further thought, I have come to the conclusion that I don't want to live there or move there because of two main things. One, I don't like the language barrier. I don't speak English very much there in Tokyo, especially in the urban areas, you know, around the city, Tokyo. English is the exception, not the norm. So in order to really navigate your way in that society, you need to be able to speak Japanese, and it is one of the most difficult languages to speak. I know that because I went to language school in Monterey with the Army and studied Turkish for 1 year. And then when we took our final test, we bumped into some Japanese students who were taking their final test. And they told us that it is one of the more difficult languages to learn. So not only that, but number two, I don't like driving on the left side of the road. Well, there, I mean, you have a lot of narrow roads winding through the neighborhoods. And I mean, cars go past each other on the same road, you know, with no center divider, no median. And it can be nerve-wracking. And my stepdaughter, she's been driving there a long time, and she was going like 80 miles an hour down the freeway and trucks everywhere. And I didn't really feel comfortable. I like driving myself, but I don't think I could ever get used to driving on the left side of the road. I mean, I could do it. Anybody with a brain would be able to figure it out. But no thanks. I don't want to move there. So we're going to be moving from San Antonio sometime in the near future. I'll tell you the truth. Let me take a drink of water here. We are in the process of evicting my other stepdaughter, Eva, and her children. As we've done before, this time, I've hired a lawyer to do it. And beginning next week, she'll receive an eviction notice. And I wish it wouldn't have had come down to that. But my stepdaughter, Eva, if you didn't know who she is a procrastinator. I mean that in a good way. You know, I always see the good sides of people. I always have something good to say about a person, you know. She is a kind, loving person. We've gotten along well over the years. She lived here, and you might have heard me mention it on a previous radio show. It's been a while. Going all the way back to 2011, when my wife and I got married in May, in November, she moved in with the children because they had been living with my wife before we were married in Alexandria, Virginia, actually Crystal City, Virginia, in my wife's two-bedroom apartment. I stepdaughter and three children. Until when I got married to Jackie, she came here in May of 11, and they had to go find somewhere else to live, but ultimately came to live with us in November of 11. And right from the start, it was a lot of things going on. There were a lot of things going on I didn't like. Like, for example, them not taking their shoes off in the house. Back then, I used to do that. Not anymore, but also they weren't doing any chores. Eva wasn't paying rent. She was living rent free, and they were getting into arguments. But it all came to a head one day when she had Malia, who was a baby then, about, she was born in 2009, so about 2 years old. She was in my room, in our bedroom, and talking with my wife, and the baby was crying and screaming, and I told her to get out. I told her about three or four times, and she was ignoring me, so I finally had to raise my voice. And then she left and said, as she was leaving, "I'll knock your ass out." And I said, "Okay." Well, it wasn't long after that before I went down to the Justice of the Peace and filed a forcible detainer, which means I set up a court date. We both appeared in court. She pleaded her side of the story, which wasn't much other than trying to raise her children, but the judge ruled in my favor because it was my house, and it still is my house. So we had to go through the other parts of the process. She appealed. We had another court date, later time to get out by, and then filing the writ of possession, another court date. She didn't show up. The judge ruled in my favor, set another date for her to move out by. Finally, several months later, she still here in the house, and the constables had to come and forcibly remove her. I mean, they came inside the house and said, "If you don't put your possessions out on the curb right now, we're going to do it for you." So it wasn't long after that before they hopped in a cab and were on the way to the bus station to go live with my wife's sister in Delaware. They had a house and I lived with her there for about a year, and not surprisingly, they got into some issues with them as well. One in particular was the young man, Malik, who is a fine, outstanding gentleman, I think. He is the one I really respect more than anybody. He has turned into quite a fine individual. I can't say it enough. He works for Amazon. Mostly, I think he works full-time and some part-time hours, and he is a great guy. But back then, he was young, you know, that was about 14 years ago, so he's 27 now. He's about 12, 13, and he got into an argument with my wife's sister's husband, who's that, my son-in-law, I can't remember. Anyway, he put him outside, and it was in the wintertime, because they got into an argument. Suffice it to say that they didn't stay in that house much longer, and then they went to live with my wife's niece in Maryland, and there were six of them living in a one-bedroom apartment. Well, they were about to get kicked out of there when my wife said, "Well, this is the situation, and they don't have any place to go. Can they come here to San Antonio? We're going to try to set them up in the Haven for Hope, which is like a homeless shelter in downtown San Antonio, which offers like counseling, and they'll help you get a job, and they'll feed you and house you and keep you off the streets and help you get a job." So that was the plan. They came here. They showed up at my doorstep, our doorstep, in the evening, and they were supposed to go down to the Haven for Hope following day. When they got here, I said, "You know what, this kind of seems like the old times." I believe they might have learned a lesson, that they might be better now, if you know what I mean. I said, y'all can stay. And over the last, that was back in 2013, 12 years, for the most part, things have gone well. We've improved their quality of life. You know, we put a roof over their heads and helped feed them and gave them money for things and allowed them to drive our cars. And, I mean, I got into arguments with Eva occasionally and we'd take a drink. And, I mean, there was times when she said, I was telling her, you got to get a job. And she was saying, F you, Blake, F you, F you. And other times where she rushed me. One time I told her to give me the keys for the car and she wouldn't because it had a flat tire and tow truck was coming and she was doing something and she was ignoring me. And so I repeatedly told her to give me the keys and she rushed me, pushed me back kind of. She had the keys underneath her brassiere and she pulled the keys out and I saw one of her breasts and it wasn't, that's just one example of, I mean, two examples of a few actually, several that I've had confrontations, but it was most recently the confrontations I've had with her daughter, Malia, who is 16. And I believe I've said this on a show maybe about a month ago, how we had a confrontation. She's quite the firecracker for 16 years old, but she always was a very loud child growing up, you know, and would be screaming and throwing temper tantrums and swearing. I mean, I've never heard a foul mouth on a human being in my life. I'm serious. For a young girl to swear that way is shocking and has been to me, and slamming doors, banging on the walls. And it was on the 10th of June when we got into an argument. We were raising our voices, yelling at each other. And towards the end of the argument, she came down the stairs and she said, I hope you died, Blake. Walked out the door. I said, okay. And then the next day, she said, as she walked by me, I hate you. My wife was trying to explain it away, saying, well, she's 16. That's what teenagers do. You know, teenagers are like that. Okay, you know. She apologized to me at the request of my wife. And she sent me a text message and apologized. And I replied back and said, it's all good. You know, I ask for your forgiveness as well. You know, I don't want any harm to come to you. And, you know, I just want us to get along, that kind of thing. And so, fast forward maybe about 3 weeks after that, 3 or 4 weeks, and we've got this dog who we rescued, and he's a German short-haired pointer, and he's a loud dog. He'll go out here in the backyard and bark, 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 and the neighbors have complained about him, and he's a beautiful dog. He's strong and he's fast, but he has some very aggressive behavior at times. He'll bite and he'll jump up on you. And he's pushed my wife over a couple of times. So anyway, he was looking out the front window in the house and barking at everything that's going on in the street outside. A loud car go by, bark at it, like he is doing right now. I don't know if you can hear that. Or someone might be walking their dog across the street and bark, 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 barking at the dog. Anybody walking by, he barks at them. A plane flies overhead, he'll bark at that. Now he's trying to get out, but I've got the door closed. And so we put a box in the window. I was talking with Malik, my grandson, and he agrees because he's trying to sleep upstairs. And, you know, he works a midnight shift, and he comes home. He doesn't want to hear Lenny, the dog, barking all day. Just looking out the window, barking at anything, you bark at the birds and the bird feeder outside, you know, feeding on the bird feeder. So he put a bar, talked with him, And I said, we got to stop him from barking out the window. And he said, I've got it. I'll take care of it. He put a box up there. Well, Yiba saw that. She didn't like it. And so to make a long story short, the box came down. I put it back up. And then Malia took the box down. I said, who took the box down? She was up at the top of the stairs. And she said, I did, because when he's barking more with the box up there. And I said, no, he's not. He barks more with the box down. He only barks when the box is up there because he wants to look out the window. But overall, he barks less. So I said, this box stays down. She said, why are you so aggressive? And we got into it. We were yelling at each other at the top of our lungs. And she then started videotaping me. I said, get that out of my face. She went, put it on TikTok, Mad Grandpa. So we kept going at it for a couple of minutes, and Eva was trying to stop her mainly from talking to me. And she was going on swearing, and your white ass this. And so finally, I mentioned something about being your grandfather. I'm your grandfather. Don't you dare talk to me that way, or I can't remember exactly. She, her face was contorted with rage. She said, you are not my grandfather. You never will be my grandfather. And said it a few times. She jumped up on the couch and was gesturing at me and pushed her mother back about 5 feet. And then she went upstairs and she said something to Jackie, who was trying to calm things down, my wife, Jackie. And she said to Jackie, if you die, I'm not going to your funeral. Well, Jackie thought about that. And the next day, she began to cry. She had always been Malia's big supporter, you know, trying to protect her. But after that, I realized that I had to do something. So I've been threatening to evict them, to get them out of the house. Besides, I really just wanted to sell the house and for us to move to Nevada and be closer to my son. But do you think they would understand that? Malik understands it. And the other granddaughter, she's kind of quiet and stays to herself, minds her own business. But Eva and Malia, they just don't understand that. So finally, I don't know if I've ever told you this. Let me take a drink. I have PTSD and anxiety. I served over 43 years with the U.S. Army. I've never been in combat, but I donated one of my kidneys to my son in San Francisco in 95. And I wouldn't discourage anybody from donating a kidney. It's a gift of life. And you don't realize just how important a kidney is until you give a kidney to somebody who needs one. Because being on dialysis, whether it's peritoneal or hemodialysis, is really no alternative. It is a hard life. And my son's got a book coming out called Finding Faith Through Dialysis. And he was on dialysis when he was very young, from age 3 to 10 months. When I finally gave him my kidney in an operation on the 29th of March, 1995 at Stanford University's Children's Hospital in San Francisco. That kidney lasted him 19 years, and then he got a second one from his best friend's mom in Ohio in 2014, so that's been 11 years. I pray, my prayer is this: God, Creator, please bless Bryce and help that kidney that he's got to last him as long as possible. There is no substitute for a real kidney, and how it makes urine, it's an amazing thing. Please, God, look after Bryce and help him. In Jesus' name, amen. I've said lots of prayers like that. And I'm going to take another drink. You're thinking about donating a kidney to anyone, whether family member or a friend or just a complete stranger, I would encourage you to do so, but know that your body is going to be a little bit different. I've noticed that. Living on one kidney is all right. Your body can function. A lot of people do it. A lot of people live with one kidney. Some are born with one kidney. Some lose a kidney for one reason or another, and some people donate kidneys to other people. And yes, you can live comfortably with one kidney, but you do have to make some life changes and live a healthier lifestyle to ensure your longevity. For example, drinking water, and I've said this before on previous shows, there is nothing like drinking your daily recommended amount of water. You can prevent so much happening from within your body if you drink enough water. It is a miracle liquid. I know it doesn't taste much, and sometimes it's quite a chore to stay hydrated, but did you know that you can prevent diseases like heart disease and cancer and diabetes by drinking your daily recommended amount of water? Take it from the Reverend Blake Ruby. I've learned it from other people, learned it from my son. That's all throughout his book. He found out the benefit of drinking his daily recommended amount of water because he didn't always do that. And even though the kidney, my kidney that I gave him lasted him 19 years, he still realized that you can't live a lifestyle surviving on soda pop and eating candy like children do. It's going to affect you later on. A healthier lifestyle is always conducive to a long, healthy life, if you know what I mean. Water is the miracle liquid. Please, please drink your daily recommended amount, your daily recommended amount of H2O. I do. I try to. My wife does. Anyway, so not only that, but I eventually gravitated to a vegan lifestyle, although some of the food that I do eat has a little bit of dairy and egg in it, not much. But I did it to ensure I would survive a longer life, if you know what I mean. And I know that kind of lifestyle isn't for everybody. I didn't always do the right thing in my life growing up. I won't go into all the details. Suffice it to say that I didn't always take good care of myself. But later on, I began to do so. And becoming a vegan was a part of that healthy lifestyle, to include exercise and getting enough sleep each day, which the Army teaches you, you know, to be fully functioning and prepared for whatever our country needs you for, you know, to send you downrange and maybe fight a battle here and there. I never was in combat, but I lived and worked with Army people who were in combat, including my father. And I found out that they are really incredible people and are brave, braver than the usual human being, and just an overall better kind of person, especially the aviators, the helicopter pilots, the jet pilots. They are excellent leaders. If they've been tested through the fire of combat, trial through fire, not that I'm saying anything good about war. It's a terrible thing that we have to kill each other, but sometimes it's necessary to protect our loved ones. You know, think about the Germans and how they were bent on conquering the world not too long ago, just before my lifetime. You know, a whole society of people who were brainwashed into believing that white supremacy was where it was at, and they were going to try to take over and dominate the entire planet. And they almost succeeded at doing so. Did you know that the Germans were very, very, very close to developing the atomic bomb, and were about to do so before us. And that is the truth. I won't go into the details, but suffice it to say, with Wernher von Braun, you know, and other German scientists, they were ahead of us. But fortunately, we've got some ET friends out there, and you can believe this or not. You can believe this or not, my friends, but take it from me. I've read about it. I know about it. There are some ETs out there that can change the course of events in history. And they stepped in and sabotaged the Germans' development of the atomic bomb so that we developed it first. Sometimes the choice between the lesser of two evils, my friends. Can you imagine what would have happened if the Germans had developed the atomic bomb before us? Oh, just imagine. Use your imagination and envision a world where they would have dropped several bombs all around the place. And pretty soon, we would have had to give up. When you kill like 200,000-300,000 people at a time in cities, and with after effects that last for years and years afterwards. Case in point, let me take a drink. I'm going to take a drink. The Trinity site here in the United States, in Alamogordo, New Mexico. We've got some good friends that just moved there. I knew the husband, my wife talks with the woman. Her name is Jane. We met them because the man, I worked alongside of him in headquarters IMCOM, Installation Management Command in Crystal City, Virginia, in about 2005. He was a lieutenant colonel, retired, and working in logistics division, directorate. And my wife got to know his wife, Jane, and they lived in San Antonio up until like around 2020, I think, or 2019, when they wanted to get away from the big city and all the traffic, and they moved to Alamogordo, New Mexico. They got a house there, and supposedly they were going to enjoy the rest of their days there. However, we heard recently that Jane found out that there are small particles of glass in the wind that, when inhaled, can do damage to a person's lungs. And that glass in the wind is a result of those atomic bombs that were exploded in that area, in the White Sands Missile Range area. All that heat from the explosion melted the sand and created glass. And even after all these years, over 7 years, that still remains. So, and there's still some minor radioactivity too. And I imagine there is in Japan. I was just there for 2 weeks. We didn't go to Hiroshima or Nagasaki. After we got there, we were just content staying in the house my other stepdaughter lives in and eating out occasionally. I went for a walk every morning, a little bit of running too. Come back, I'd watch YouTube videos all day, talk with my wife and my stepdaughter and my grandson, and we had a good time. But my point is, atomic bombs can cause a lot of radioactivity afterwards. Sometimes it could last for several centuries. That's why it's never an acceptable idea to use the bomb again. Because not only would you kill a lot of people, not only would a lot of people be killed in the initial blast, but also the radiation would affect everything afterwards, the plant and animal life. You wouldn't be able to eat any food that didn't have radioactivity in it, and birth defects would happen. Terrible, horrible birth defects over the centuries, until things finally got back to normal. So that initial blast is just part of the damage that atomic bombs would cause. Going back to what I said about the Germans almost having it, these friends of ours, and believe me, they're out there, they're watching us, they've been monitoring us. They are the guardians of the galaxy, so to speak. I'm not trying to be funny, but they have us in their guardianship. They monitor and observe us and have been doing so for thousands of years, and they intervene when necessary to help us. They don't serve the food on a platter, so to speak. They'd rather let us learn to fish than fish for us themselves. You know what I mean? But they are out there, and they are technologically and spiritually one of the three most advanced civilizations in the Milky Way galaxy, apparently. And they're hermaphrodite, which means they are like transgender, 9 feet tall, beautiful, human being-like extraterrestrials with incredible intelligence who can traverse the universe in a very quick fashion. And they know how to go interdimensionally, pop into the parallel universe, which is like a spirit realm, and go from A to B there by the power of thought. How about that? The power of thought, a dimension where you travel by thought. And really, my friends, the universe is nothing more than a giant intelligent thought. Did you ever realize that? Well, I'm telling you the truth. It is. I'm going to take a drink. And all matter, at its inception, is nothing more than a powerful thought. You might have heard of the superstring theory, which states that all matter, at its tiniest molecular form, are nothing more than strands of energy or ribbons of energy that vibrate at a certain frequency. And when they gather together, when they coalesce and accumulate, they form matter by the powers of attraction and repelling. And thus, matter is formed in the universe. And we are microcosms of the universe. We are thinkers, and we change things with our thoughts. We are all a part of the creator of the universe. I've said this before. We are like little co-creator gods in the making. We will never be the creator of the universe, who is a powerful, omnipotent, omniscient being, an electrical being that moves around the universe in a huge electronic field of energy, like an aurora borealis that's instead colored like all the colors of the rainbow, with this head inside that is beautiful. I always compare it to like the Wizard of Oz, you know, that face that is behind the curtains, you know. Silence! You will do as I want. But not an angry person, but a benevolent, happy, loving being. A giant head in this energy field, if you will, who is responsible for the creation of the universe. A magical, magical, truly magical being. And it is both a male and female. The universe is both male and female, and so is the creator. So let me backtrack now what I was saying about the atomic bomb and the Germans. Just how different the world would have been if the Germans had got control of the atomic bomb. We would have been subjected. We would have, being Americans, you know, and having that pride, they probably would have rebelled and revolted, and things might have changed. I don't know. They would have found ways to subject us and dominate us, to continue dominating us. But anyway, I'm going to take a drink. And so, yes, the creator of the universe is out there. And I was talking about those extraterrestrials. They have guardianship. But that's what the universe is about. The more advanced civilizations out there look after the ones who are not so advanced and help them along in their evolution. In fact, in our soul's journey, each of us, through the process of reincarnation, although The goal is to graduate from this existence to a more evolved existence on another planet elsewhere in the universe, to continue our evolution in other incarnations and work our way up the ladder of evolution till we achieve that final state of purification where, with our soulmates, we can create things in the universe. We can get our own patch of infinite space and be the gods of our own solar system. I'm serious. This isn't funny. We are living in a solar system with a sun at its matrix, and we revolve around that sun and rotate on our axis, and the energy from the sun is doing that. How else do you think our planet is rotating at 600 miles an hour perfectly without any glitches, so that we have half a day of light and half a day of night, and then we revolve around the sun at a few thousand miles an hour, and then our solar system revolves around the center of the Milky Way galaxy at many more thousands of miles an hour, and it's all held together by, you might say, gravity. Do you really understand what gravity is? It's a power, courtesy of the supreme creator of the universe. And I'm not talking about the co-creator gods of our solar system, who we are aspiring to be ourselves, co-creator gods, through that process of reincarnation, one lifetime after another. Just imagine one day when you have achieved that level of evolution and you have that knowledge, when you know how to create and not destroy, and you can utilize those cosmic forces that exist, and you can manipulate them and maneuver them into creating planets or spirit children just by speaking the right words. Yes, the Bible was correct in as much as it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and nothing was created without the Word. So guess what? It behooves us to use our words wisely, because we can either create or destroy. Or actually, in my opinion, just do nothing and stay neutral. So you've heard the expression, either lead, follow, or get out of the way. Either be a creator or get out of the way. And certainly don't destroy. Because believe me, my friends, there is no greater wrath that exists, no greater anger than disrespecting the beauty of creation. Say, for example, I'm going to take a drink first. Let's say you started building a house, and you were doing it yourself. Maybe you had some people to help you. You set the foundation. You began building it one board at a time. You put in the electricity. You put in the plumbing. You put a roof over the head, and you're almost finished. And you look back and said, now there is an incredible piece of work that I've done myself. I'm so proud of it. And then someone comes along and burns it to the ground. How would you feel? It's kind of like abortion. Think of the baby that's developing in the mother's womb. At age 22 days, the heart starts beating, and then being fearfully and wonderfully made, they're knitted together in the womb. Things start forming, the bones, the tissue, the miles of veins in the body, the eyes, the brain. 9 months in the womb, but it really doesn't get started until the heart starts beating. The heart starts beating. That's life, my friends. And either you're pro-life or you're not. The choice is yours. If you're not pro-life, you're anti-life. And I've said this before, there have been more babies aborted in the history of the world than people have died in every single war around this planet throughout our history. Imagine that for a second. More babies aborted than people that have died in wars. Where is the value of life? Now, I can understand women and their perspective because they need their rights. They've been mistreated, they've been abused, and they still are. But isn't this more about their rights than the baby's rights? A human being that grows in their bodies. There's so much responsibility. Just imagine us. If we'd been aborted, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't exist. And you too. You didn't have any part of that. Someone could have said, made a decision where they were going to abort you, and then just like James Stewart in the movie A Wonderful Life, you wouldn't have existed. I'm going to take a drink. Pro-life, we can garner so much meaning from that. Those two words, pro-life. And the value of life, indeed, you travel around the world in some third world countries and you'll see that they don't place a very high value on life. You cross the road in some cities in other third world countries and you're taking your life into your hands. There's no right of way for pedestrians. There's no value of life. They'll hit you, run you over and keep on going. I've seen it. I've seen that. The value of life is better than it was, and it's still increasing, but it needs a long way to go. And one way to solve that problem is for abortion to stop. There is no justification for killing a baby, none whatsoever. A baby is a potential you. You. That baby is waiting for its chance to come out of the womb and begin growing and living here on planet Earth, breathing the air, developing itself, educating itself. Everything that entails, from a baby to an adult, that opportunity is there. But unfortunately, many times that opportunity disappears because of a decision made by a woman, maybe not an informed decision, and maybe not a responsible one, because women have a responsibility for contraception as well as the men do. I understand that. There is a lot of responsibility, and it's a powerful thing to create a baby. You know, it's not just a woman, it's a man. A baby can't be created without a man doing what a man does, you know what I mean. So it's not only about the women. The man has part of that say-so also, right? The sperm, the man, fertilizes the female egg, an embryo is formed, and the rest is history. It grows into becoming a baby. Now, I understand that women have a very difficult decision to make sometimes, and I sympathize with them, and I know they have to live with that for the rest of their life, but I'm just saying what I said without being judgmental. I just put it out there, kind of maybe you see me leaning one way or another. However, I don't want to be judgmental. I know it's tough, and I think God feels the same way, although, as I said, there is nothing more terrible than the wrath of God. If God doesn't like something and you're destroying rather than creating, believe me, you will hear about it. Maybe not right away, but eventually. And like that house that was burned down, if you disrespect the Creator and destroy what the Creator has created, a beautiful, fearfully made creation that we have little knowledge about, a heart that beats independently of our wills, lungs that purify the blood, a central nervous system that will pull your hand away from my stove in a second before it gets burned. We are incredibly made creations. We are co-creator gods. There's no other explanation, my friends. If you have a brain and a heart and the potential to die at any moment, I don't want to be morbid, but it's true. If you could die tomorrow or in the next few seconds, if the sun were to extinguish itself, even though it would take 8 minutes for the light from the sun to reach us here on Earth, this planet would freeze up in a second, and everything alive on it would cease to be alive. It would die. We have to accept life. We have to embrace it, and we have to raise it up on a pedestal, and we have to let women have more say-so. And instead of being discriminated against, praise them, love them for the co-creator gods they are. We are all evolving, men and women alike. But let me tell you something, my friends. I'm going to move my stand over here because the sun is shining through. And give me a few seconds here. I have to move my speaker so it blocks out the sun. I'll be right back. Okay, I think that works. Well, hold on, just a little bit more. Okay, I think that's okay. That's good. As I was saying, the world will be a more peaceful place when our society turns into a more maternal society instead of a paternal society. The men had their chance. They'll send their children off to war to die without thinking too much about it, but a woman won't do that. Men have had their chance. Look where it got us. All the wars throughout the centuries, right? Wars going on right now. Over 60,000 Palestinians dead in the Gaza Strip. How many people dead in Ukraine? Both Ukrainians and Russians. War still going on. Who's in charge? Men. I guarantee you that it wouldn't be the same if women were in charge. So the choice is yours, my friends. Yes, we need to find the right woman. All countries do. But we need to make that change to a more maternal society, a more maternal civilization, if we ever really want to have peace in our world, on this planet. You guys take a drink? Being pro-life, even though I'm not trying to be judgmental, being pro-life means that we value life more. And if we get more women on board with that, even though the angels and God understand the tough decisions that women have to make, depending on their circumstances, for women to get to that higher level where they can control our society, they have to be on board with what God wants. I'm talking about the mother and father God that created the universe, and they are pro-life. Make no mistake about that, my friends. God is pro-life. God is not anti-life. God is pro-life. God understands some situations get out of control and it's hard. And ultimately, we'll be held accountable for all our decisions, good and bad. A more peaceful world will only happen if we have more female leadership around the world. The men had their try. Think about how many centuries have gone by with war and killing. Can you name the number of wars that we've had around the world, not only here in the United States, and even today, millions of people killed needlessly. There is no justification for killing anybody. No justification. That is God's responsibility, taking away life. Remember the movie The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio? He runs into the Indian They talk about how they lost loved ones. And the Indian thinks about it for a while and then walks away and says, as he's walking away, "Well, I know that revenge is in the Creator's hands. It'll do us good to remember that, my friends. Revenge is in the Creator's hands. If you're man enough, a woman enough, then you will. We're growing. We're evolving. We're getting better. Come on. Don't feel bad about anything I've said. I've learned from other people. You can learn from me. I'm just passing information along. I respect you as a co-creator God in the making." Someone who listened to my radio show a few weeks ago might not be alive anymore. I've come close to dying myself a few times without going into details. I'm going to take a drink. By the way, I put some new videos on YouTube, Blake Ruby. So you're going to type in Blake Ruby, R-U-B-I-E. I did a 30-minute segment that I entitled Evolution 201. Also, there's a song I did for my friend who I used to work with before he retired. That is Take Me Home Country Roads by John Denver. Today I added two more videos. They actually pulled one due to copyright infringement. I don't know what they're talking about. I tell you what, it's kind of wild, but there are two, one called Mr. Fantasy from a song back in the 60s by a group called Traffic, Dear Mr. Fantasy, and another one called The Eyes of a Stranger by Queensryche back in the 80s. A very cool song. You know I'm a rock and roller, although I like all genres of music. I got to take another drink. That sun is now in my way again. Maybe if I get a little bit over here, yeah, that's better. That afternoon sun was just shining in directly there. That's better. Okay, I need to take my drink of water. One of the dogs wants to come out. Let me see, what time do I have here? Only got a couple minutes. Time to say a prayer. Creator of the universe, oh great, omnipotent, omniscient one, you know everything. You see us. We're evolving as a civilization. And I ask, please, for your help to see us through. There's so many good people in this world, Creator. Decent, loving, family-oriented people. It's just a small minority who are the bullies and the dictators and the tyrants. Us majority, over 80% of human beings on this world are good people. I've seen them, God. Help us, please. Don't let us be run roughshod over by the majority, most of them who are very rich. I only want that you would help us to survive, Creator. When I look up at the evening sky and I see the stars out there, light years away, I know how great you are. When I see the sun rise and set, when actually it's our planet rotating on its axis and revolving around the sun, I think how great you are for putting that power in place. The whole universe is held into existence by the might of your power, Creator. You are so worthy of praise and worship forever. Forever. We wouldn't exist if it wasn't for you. Thank you. A thousand thank yous, Creator. You are awesome and wonderful and beautiful and incredible. And guess what? You know what I'm going to say. We love you. Yes. We love you. We thank you for everything. And thank you for your love for us. You know us intimately, each and every one of us, how many numbers of hair we have on our head, what the numbers of hair is. You know the number of grains of sand on every beach on planet Earth. You know everything. And I want to get to know you better before I die. Before we die, we want to get to know you better, Creator, because you're so worthy, so worthy. We want to be like you. We want to create. It's amazing. Well, my friends, I got 1 minute. That was my prayer. Thank you for listening. Check out my videos. I'll see how many views I've got. See, maybe how many people were listening to my show, and then how many people just tuned into those videos I was telling you about, the new videos posted yesterday and today. Thank you for everything. I love you. Take care. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.